Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust second quarter financial year 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in a listen-only mode until the floor is opened for questions. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. On the call, we have the following persons: Mr. Ankur Gupta, Managing Partner, Brookfield Asset Management and Director, Brookfield Management Services Private Limited; Mr. Alok Agarwal, Chief Executive Officer, Brookfield Management Services Private Limited; Mr. Sanjeev Kumar Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, Brookfield Management Services Private Limited; and Mr. Rashid Kothari from Brookfield, and also Mr. Sharindra Sabdani from Brookfield. I now hand the conference over to management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining the Brookfield REIT Q2 FY24 earnings call. I'm pleased to say that we have successfully completed the acquisitions of Downtown Powai and Candor TechSpace G1 in August 23. With these acquisitions, we have now doubled the scale of our REIT since the IPO, with the operating income increasing from approximately operating area increasing from approximately 10 million square feet to over 20 million square feet. The diversification benefits of these acquisitions is also significant. Mumbai and Gurugram each represent one-third of our portfolio by value. The share of BFSI and consulting tenants has increased to almost 40% from 32% earlier. The tenant concentration of the technology sector has reduced from mid-40s to 30% earlier. From mid-40s to 30% now. Our top five tenant concentration has also reduced significantly from 52% to 31%, and our top 10 tenant list has seen an influx of BFSI and consulting names such as Deloitte, Nomura, and CRISIL, amongst others. Achieving scale and de-risking the portfolio through the acquisition of high-quality assets has been our stated objective, and we are happy to be executing on our plans. Coming to the performance of our portfolio, we have seen robust leasing during the quarter, having achieved 500,000 square feet of gross leasing. We leased 326,000 square feet in our SEZ assets during the quarter, which is almost 70% higher than our post-IPO quarterly average. GCCs constituted approximately 68% of the new leasing achieved in the SEZ assets, with the likes of L&T Hydrocarbon, Paxo Group, Qualcomm, EUI, and Amdocs expanding their footprints at our campuses. We further signed expansion options of 94,000 square feet at N2. We would also like to highlight that our non-SEZ portfolio is nearing stabilized occupancies, with N1 already being 97% occupied and Downtown Powai almost touching 90%. Our scheduled expiries for the pre-acquisition assets were largely scheduled to happen in H1 FY24 and have impacted our reported committed occupancies. We also had an increase in same-store expiries in the pre-acquisition SEZ assets during the quarter. However, we feel that structurally the expiries are largely behind us. In G1, we saw expiries for about 0.3 million square feet, which is completely backed by income support. In Downtown Powai, we are in advanced discussions to renew the scheduled expiries of 0.4 million square feet in H2 FY24 at a significant mark-to-market spread. In FY25, our SEZ portfolio only has scheduled expiries of 0.2 million square feet. Hence, we are well positioned to see an improvement in our SEZ occupancies next year onwards. Our non-SEZ portfolio has scheduled expiries of 0.5 million square feet, which we expect will get renewed or backfilled with high demand that we see for space in these assets. Hence, with limited expiries due and strong demand across the board, we expect to see an improvement in our portfolio's committed occupancy over the course of financial year 25. The physical occupancy at our campuses continue to improve, with a clarion call from many of our tenants asking their employees to return to work showing results. We have seen the impact of this with the acceleration in the expansion plans of our tenants. In fact, some of our tenants who had given up spaces, who have given up space less than a year back, are now asking for additional space in our campuses, as they run out of space to seat their employees. All this bodes well for our leasing momentum. We have displayed strong organic growth, with our existing leases having delivered a 7% average escalation on 1.6 million square feet during the quarter. In H1 24, we achieved an average escalation of 8% on 3.9 million square feet. Additionally, we are on track to deliver about 80,000 square feet of area, which is under development in downtown Powai in the ongoing quarter. I'm pleased to report that we have achieved a five-star RESTEP rating for the second year in a row. This is truly heartening to be recognized for our efforts to place ESG at the center of what we do. We were ranked number one in Asia for management score and achieved a score of 100% in both social and governance categories for both standing investments and development. Additionally, we were awarded the prestigious Sword of Honor for five of our assets by the British Safety Council. These assets were also awarded a five-star rating for the second consecutive year in the Occupational Health and Safety Audit with a score of 90% plus in the Best Practice Indicator. During the quarter, we conducted workshops for tenants and employees on waste recycling and segregation, plastic reuse and sustainability. We also unveiled the Green Cover Book and Biodiversity Report, which provide insights into our assets' current biodiversity profile. As always, we continue to prioritize ESG and take the necessary measures to ensure our assets remain leaders on the ESG front. Our high-quality portfolio has emitted growth headroom of 14%, which will be realized through further leasing and the growing physical occupancy aiding margin recovery. We will now look to consolidate the recently acquired assets before we embark on future inorganic growth. We continue to have access to almost 30 million square feet of the sponsor group's assets in key gateway cities in India, which provides a strong medium to long-term growth potential for our REIT. Now, I would like to invite Sanjeev to provide the financial updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Alok. Good afternoon, everyone. As Alok mentioned, we have successfully consummated the acquisitions of downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1 in the September quarter. Not only did this transaction led to a diversification of our tenant base, but the successful fundraising program also helped diversify out our investor base. We also secured a 400 crore rupees investment from our sponsor group through a preferential issuance at a 25% premium to the prevailing market price. We also issued our first commercial paper of 750 crore rupees this quarter at an extremely attractive rate and used the proceeds to right-size the SPV level debt at Downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1. We have witnessed a growth of 33% in our operating lease rentals to 274 crore rupees compared to the same period last year, and that adjusted NOI grew by 43% to 346 crore rupees compared to quarter two of financial year 2023. This increase was primarily due to the addition of Downtown Powai and G1 to the portfolio. Post the acquisition, we have significant growth potential of 14% in our portfolio, which can be achieved through the lease up of vacant area and margin recovery. We have also achieved an NDCF of 193 crore rupees this quarter, which translates to 4 rupees 39 paisa per unit. We are distributing 4 rupees ₹0.40 per unit this quarter. The NDCF per unit was lower than our quarterly run rate since downtown Powai and G1's contribution was restricted to 34 and 44 days respectively during the quarter. The pre-acquisition SPVs generated an NDCF of ₹5.03 per unit without considering the impact of dilution from the units issued at QIP and the preferential allotment. Additionally, we are in the process of filing capital reduction schemes in some of our SPVs, which is expected to enhance the dividend component of distribution post the implementation of these schemes. Due to the acquisitions and the organic growth in our portfolio, our gross asset value grew 74% to 28,500 crore rupees, and our NAV as of 30th September 2023 is at 323 rupees per unit. Our loan to value ratio is 38.5%. However, if we exclude shareholders NCD and liability component of CCD from minority shareholder GIC in two of these new acquired SPVs, LTV comes to 34.3%, which represents LTV basis external third party debt. While we look to resize the debt, we will do so when market conditions are favorable. The average interest rate of the portfolio debt is 8.3% as on September 30th, 2023. And we have a strong balance sheet with a long dated maturity profile and limited refinancing and amortization over the next few years. Thanks a lot. With this, I would request the moderator to open the full floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Any questions?
The first question comes from Tune Gulati with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good distribution. Can you help me run down this enhanced distribution of 4.4? How did you get that, and does that in there is a gap apparently on the NDCF walk down. If you can help me understand the gap also from 2048 million down to the distribution.
So Puneet, on 21 slide number 21, we have given NDCF walk down for SPV level, so which is coming to 2048, and then that 2048 gets distributed in the form of interest on shareholder and repayment of shareholder debt or NCD, which is given on slide 22. And in turn, REIT has invested 51 crores of shareholder loan to the couple of existing SPVs. That's why it is coming, the net figure is coming to 193 crores, which is 4.39 rupees. And I would like to mention here that when I mentioned 5.03 rupees distribution from the existing SPVs, that number is after netting off this 51 crore which these SPVs receives from share REIT.
Okay, I would have thought 2048 minus 51 minus 6.5 crore. Should that not or plus 6.5 crore this time. Should that not have been the math? Are we not counting 51 crore two times?
No, but 2048 is the generation this quarter, but there are surpluses in the SPVs, which is carrying from the previous quarters, as well as the two of the SPVs which we acquired. There were certain cash balances lying in those SPVs. So the total which SPVs have distributed to the REIT is 237 crore, which is sum total of 101 and 136 crores. Then net 51 crores and treasury income 6.5 crore need to be added, which comes to 193 crores.
Understood. So will it be fair to say that the cash flow generation would have been 160 crore, but 192, 193 crore got distributed? Is that how one should think?
It's not the cash flow generation. It's because NDCF definition is it gives only a framework what need to be included in NDCF and what need not to be included in NDCF. But as far as overall cash flow on cumulative basis, if you see the 6 months cumulation, that is what we distributed. So as an example, when we acquired this new SPV, the consideration paid was net of the cash balances or net of all other assets, but that cash belonged to REIT now.
Right. Okay, understood. So in that cash. Secondly, on the NOI side or income support, so are we assuming full quarter of income support in this NOI calculation, or is it proportionate to whatever the few days, 34 days, I think you mentioned?
So for when I run go to the NOI numbers, it is net for the period post acquisition.
Okay, so the 50 crore income support is only for the roughly a month.
No, 51 crore because it is getting presented in the NDCF walk. That's why it's including opening. But for the NOI numbers, which is coming in the accounts, is only for the proportionate period.
Yeah, so Puneet, I think this quarter's distribution factors for G1 income support from 1st July.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. And lastly, on Kensington, there seems to have been some bit of deterioration in the facility rentals, while at the margin, there hasn't been occupancy change on Q&Q basis. In fact, it has gone up. So 41.5 crore in Q1 has gone down to 35.2 crores, but your committed occupancy from June 30th has gone up from 79% to 84%. Can you help me understand what's happening there?
Just give us a moment, Puneet.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Murtuza Arsiwala with Kotak. Please go ahead.
We're still on the previous question.
So Puneet, basically what is happening is that the leases that we have entered into during the quarter are reflecting in the occupancy number.
Okay.
Some of the lease is going to be like reflected in the numbers in the subsequent quarter. The expiry we had in the last quarter, the impact of that dip is reflecting in this quarter. So basically, the leasing and the expiry which happens reflects in the numbers with a lag.
Right. So the L&T downtown 72,000 addition which you got probably happened towards the later part of the quarter.
Yeah, that's it.
Understood. That's clear. Thank you so much. That's all for my time.
We can move to the next question.
Thank you. Yeah. The next question comes from Fred Shah with DV Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Am I audible?
Yeah, please, you can.
Sir, all our acquisitions have been done from the sponsor with, in some cases, committed occupancy and also dilution to the sponsor. Our sponsor is like a AAA credit large fund. Why have we not explored acquisitions from non-sponsor stress market, which would be more lucrative to the firm?
Yeah, so maybe I'll take that. Look, I think to answer your question, the quality of assets that the REIT as a long-term strategy would like to hold would come from, I would say, AAA sellers typically, and I think our sponsor group that has contributed assets has generally been limited like funds. That said, we have been exploring third-party opportunities to the extent we like the quality, the location, the income profile. We would not shy away from making those acquisitions, but it's also a function of the opportunity that is there in the market. We continue to scout for them. I would say one very important consideration for us is for these acquisitions to be accretive to the REIT, which means they have to come from stables and income profiles, which are just generally stable in nature, occupancies which are inching up, and rental profiles that should deliver a total return north of 15% to 16%. All those criteria are very difficult to find in new investments, but we continue to look for them.
Okay. Thanks for the answer. So one more question is on the distribution. The effective tax rate to the unit holders is low because the dividend is tax-free as the SPVs are in the old tax regime. So this opportunity would be over in some years. So is it safe to assume that post some years, the effective tax rate would be marginal tax rate, which is full tax?
So let me answer, Preet, here. Two things. One, over a period of time, definitely the dividend paying capacity will increase of these SPVs in normal course. But to accelerate the same process, as I mentioned in my briefing also, we are filing one scheme of capital reduction to the NCLT, which will wipe off the accumulated losses sitting in these SPVs so that SPVs dividend paying capacity gets enhanced earlier than a normal process. So maybe a year or 9 months down the line, our dividend distribution from the SPVs will get enhanced from the stage where we are as of now.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the answers.
The next question comes from Shreesh Vaid with MoneyLife Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my question, first question primarily deals with our SEZ. So just wanted to understand, are we looking at denotifying some of the vacant blocks that we have? I mean, considering the fact that the committed occupancy across some of our SEZ parks like G1 and N2 is low, so would these would probably provide ample opportunity for denotification. So are we looking at that as an option going forward?
Yeah, Shirish. I think that's a good and obvious question. We have identified the areas, and as soon as we are waiting the SEZ reforms, they can come sooner than later. Maybe they can happen this quarter. If they don't happen this quarter, at least by next quarter, they should definitely happen. We are hopeful for them to happen this quarter. We have identified the areas which we would like to denotify in each of our SEZs. And of course, we have a phase-wise program. And some criteria have been ascertained on basis of which we will take some of the areas first which have never been leased, which have excess which can be provided direct access. Some of the criteria have been identified, and as soon as the reforms come, we will take them for denotification in a phased manner.
Got it, sir. So, under the existing rules, if for some reason if the reforms get delayed, so would we be also moving to denotify under the existing rules where we can or do we have any opportunities where we can denotify entire buildings in these parks?
So under existing rules, we do not have opportunities to denotify, and we have, so we are aware of that. So we'll have to wait for the SEG reforms to be able to denotify the existing buildings or the existing floors.
Okay, got it. And second question pertains to N2. So the income support, I think, ends at this financial year. We will be the income support would end. So post that, because there's a large difference between committed and economic occupancy, so just wanted to understand what the strategy would be to sort of increase that over there.
So yeah, so fair point. So if you really see now in Noida, we have two assets. N1 is largely 97%, probably even go further, 98, 99. It may touch 100 actually. And now we are left with N2. And what we are doing is every tenant, entire pipeline, we are focusing on N2, and we have got some successes. And we are hopeful that we should be able to ramp up the occupancy. And if SEZ reforms happen, then of course, you know, it could go much faster. And we think the SEZ reforms should happen. Enough discussions happen, and we are constantly touch with government. So our focus remains on N2 to ramp up occupancies in next two quarters.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That was all the information.
Thank you very much. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Murtuza Arsiwala with Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to check, you know, you talked about the rental escalations of 7% on 1.6 million square feet. Just to be clear, these are your typical contractual escalations. And part two of that question is, you know, we're used to usually seeing double-digit kind of contractual escalations going by the thumb rule of 15% every 3 years. So whatever typically would come up for, you know, a contractual escalation would be in double digits. So how should we read at this 7% in the current quarter, 8% for the first half in terms of rental escalations? Or is my understanding around this being contractual sort of off? And the second question is really on the interest cost. My understanding is that the interest cost that we're seeing on the P&L this quarter only takes part quarter of the interest cost attributable to the new assets. And therefore, you know, what would be a normalized sort of run rate? Should I just assume on the 11,000 crore of gross debt at the 8% interest rate for the second half of the year?
Yeah, Madhuja, let me take the first question. So you see the escalations are either 15% every 3 years, and in many of the cases, they are 5% every year. So what we are talking here about is the average increase in this quarter. We're talking about average. So that should, I hope that clarifies your question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there would be a large proportion of such contracts which have annual, you know, if I were to break up your portfolio in terms of annual escalations versus 3 year escalations, would you have some ballpark mix?
So largely Mumbai is annual escalations and Calcutta, Gurgaon, Noida is escalations every 3 years. That's a function of market.
Okay, that's
right. And what's on the financing cost, just to give you a split, the pre-acquisition portfolio is at a 8.2 coupon, PAPM. The acquisition portfolio debt is 8.5%, and the CP is at 7.66 PAPM. The rest of the debt, as Sanjeev articulated in his opening remarks, is largely more from a consolidation perspective and shareholder debt. So these are the three external buckets that you should probably factor in, which on a blended basis is 8.3% for the external debt.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question comes from Saurabh Kumar with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi. So a few questions. Thank you. So the first is, you know, so if we remove this income support this quarter, or for the acquisition impact, would it be fair to say the NOI was like largely flat QOQ?
Yes, Saurabh, it was flat on year-on-year basis.
Even quarter-on-quarter, right? I mean, I was getting a marginal decline of 6 crores. But
yeah, it, more or less same range.
Okay. And second, sir, is essentially when would you expect your, you know, your net leasing to turn positive? So your gross is obviously doing okay, but on a net basis, when do you expect to turn positive?
No, I think Saurabh, that's a very... Hello. Yeah. So, Saurabh, actually, you know, when I you know, made the statement earlier, as you said, that we have seen, you know, we have seen the, you know, centers in H1 and centers are largely behind us. And from financial year, or I would say calendar year, Q2 onwards, we should see occupancies move up gradually.
Okay, so your net leasing should turn up positive maybe this quarter onwards then, right?
I'm seeing quarter after next, because impact of this quarter
okay, okay.
Will be next quarter.
I understand.
Next quarter impact would seen in, I would say, April, May, and that's the time we are confident that net leasing should be positive.
Okay. And
this is without SEZ reforms. That's something you should keep in mind.
So if SEZ denotification comes, then that's an added positive. Okay.
Good. Yes, you see.
Okay. Sir, basically this, your GAV math. So the GAV you're reporting on a rupees billion basis is for the full consolidated, but the per share is your share, right? Which is attributable to the REIT.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And just one last thing. I mean, you know, so whatever the India-Canada thing, no impact on hopefully Brookfield's investment plans in India?
No, absolutely. Absolutely none.
Okay. Exactly. Thank you.
The next question comes from Sri Kartik Selam Makani with Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. So you disclosed the unadjusted pre-merger distribution to be close to 5.3 rupees and the post-merger close to 4.4. There are a couple of questions here. One is if you were, you also indicated the number of days for which you received the NOI from the acquired assets. So if that were to be fully normalizing for the entire quarter for Q3, would your distributions organically move close to 5% on a 5 rupees on a post-merger basis?
So, Shri, the answer is it is going to be more or less same, because only the impact of whatever expiries has happened, as Alok mentioned. So from next quarter onwards, it should be stable.
But stable, you are anchoring to the 4.4 level, is it?
No, it is going to be, because 4.4 has only part of these two acquisitions.
Correct.
Once the quarter impact will come, it will go to the our more or less original run rates.
Which is close to around 5 rupees a quarter sort of a level.
Yeah, more or less.
Understood. Secondly, the trend with respect to the occupancy level in G2, which is now down to around 78%. And there's a very sharp drop. I know you've spoken about this in the opening remarks, but directionally, both the Gurgaon assets seem to be trending weaker than some of our peers which have reported early on. Any specific event that is peculiar to Gurgaon that is driving this?
So it's really, if you really see, it's you know, so let me take SEZ versus non-SEZ. I think we are all clear that non-SEZ is doing fantastically well, whether it's N1 or Hawaii, both are in a good space in terms of renters as well as occupancy. Now let's come to SEG assets actually. But SEG, if you see Gurgaon and N2, I mean, they have kind of been impacted due to vacancies. This is related to all three. But as we said that from Q2 next onwards, we should start. See, the pipeline is strong. The good part is that pipeline is strong. It's almost about 2.2 billion square feet. And it is not that we have not been doing leasing in SEZs. We did almost, you know, 325,000 square feet leasing last quarter. Oh, I mean, last this quarter, only in SEZs. Even previous quarter, we did good leasing in SEZs. So leasing momentum is there. Pipeline is there. We have many cases, you know, today tenants who have surrendered a space, they have more people coming back to offices. They said, I want a floor, I want to close in a month. That's also happening. So the vacancy and the surrenders are behind us. I mean, that's the important point. And leasing momentum, we are confident should continue. In a series about, you know, let's say about 0.3 million square feet. And that should, you know, reflect in occupancies moving up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Pradyuma Chudari with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So one thing I missed out on when you mentioned when you expect the next season to turn positive from, I missed out the exact quarter you mentioned.
Yes, you, so yeah, so fair point. That's about Q2 24 onwards. When we look at calendar year, from April quarter onwards, we should see turning into positive.
And why is that so? Like, why so much of a delay? Because of the weakness in demand or some other reason also? Like, of course, I'm aware of the SEZ issue, but apart from that, any other thing which you're witnessing?
No, it's the leasing. It's a kind of a surrender what we indicated, you know, our deck and the leasing run rate what we're having. It indicates that from, I mean, it's not, it's just about 4.5 months away and we should see a positive numbers.
Understood. And so do we expect the occupancy to remain at current levels until then or would it decline further because already we are at 80% occupancy, committed occupancy.
It should remain around that level. It should remain around that level. That's our indication. And whatever we're talking about, we are saying there are no SEZ reforms. I think if they come, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
So without SEZ reforms, it should remain that level.
And net leasing, is it positive in non-SEZ currently? And, or even there, we see certain weakness?
No, no, non-SEZ, we are 97%. I mean, in N1, we are 97%. In Powai, we are approaching 90%. We have, in next quarter, we have two large expiries of 0.4 billion square feet. We have, you know, almost kind of a, you know, discussions are at last stage with almost 30% mark to market. So non-SEZ is doing normally well. It's only a question of SEZ portfolio, which should start filing in next you know, 4 to 5 months actually. And that's also, I mean, see, it's visible. That's the, I'm saying run rate is visible. Expiries are behind us. Some more expiries will happen by March. And that's where we are.
Understood. Thank you.
Next question comes from Shrish Vaid with Money Life Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I just have a follow-up question. So just wanted to understand if you can provide the split between, for re-leasing spreads, between our renewals and vacant area. What would be the split between those?
So it's
18%
and 6%.
Pardon me, sir? Okay, this is repeat.
19% is the releasing spread on the new leasing, 6% on renewal.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That was all.
Thank you all very much. We will As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
So thank you everyone for joining today's call. I wish each and every one of you a happy Diwali and look forward to connecting you next quarter. Thank you.
On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.